Hey guys, welcome to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. On this podcast, we will be discussing all things culture, politics, lifestyle, and current events. Come along for the ride. Everyone's freaking out about a new COVID variant. The WHO has dubbed Omicron to appease their Chinese masters. The Biden administration is implementing new COVID measures, but the worst variant of all is political corruption from the Biden family. We'll get into all this and more on Unpopular Opinions. All right, welcome back to Unpopular Opinion, guys. Big week in the world of COVID authoritarianism. There's a new variant out of South Africa called Omicron. God forbid, it sounds scary. So they've been going through, they've like changed the way they name the COVID variants, because instead of calling the variants by their geographic location, everyone's like, oh, that could be bigoted or whatever, whatever, right? So they've been using the Greek alphabet because it's apparently something that everyone knows, even though I'm assuming anyone who has not been in a fraternity or sorority probably can't even name all the letters in the Greek alphabet. But at this point, they were on the Greek alphabet, the letter nu. Okay, it's spelled N-U, right? They didn't want to use that. Why did the WHO not want to use that? Because they think, right, this is how the elites think of us, right? The little people who are not the elites, they think we're so stupid that we wouldn't understand the difference between a new variant spelled N-E-W and the new variant spelled N-U. Yeah, it can be kind of potentially confusing. However, their reasoning's very stupid. If we're reading about this in an article, it's very clear. New versus new, like N-E-W or N-U. But nevertheless, they decided we should probably skip that just in case people don't get confused. So the next letter, this is what the really funny part. The next letter is X-I, okay? And that is pronounced in the Greek alphabet, and it's pronounced Xi, right? So X-I in Greek is pronounced Xi. Well, it's spelled X-I, which, if you think about China and their president, Xi Jinping, his name is spelled X-I, but it's pronounced Xi. So phonetically, they sound completely different. However, they look the same. God forbid we name a variant after the president of China. Like, this is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life. And it just goes to show you that the WHO is completely in the pocket of the Chinese Communist Party. Like, 100%. Okay? It's such a joke. But this is who we're going to treat as our experts. These blatant partisans who are basically giving up their credibility for, I don't know, political expediency, or just because they're little, they're wusses. I mean, we could call them what they actually are, but, you know, it's a curse word and it might get this flagged like an explicit podcast. But like, they're so scared of offending China, the WHO is. They're in the pocket of China. They're the reason that this virus spread in the first place. China lied to the WHO. The WHO then continue to cover for China's lie. Like, no one should take anything from the WHO seriously anymore at this point, because it's full of political partisan hacks. No one there, it doesn't seem as though anyone there cares about actual science. They care about appeasing their masters in China. But moving on with that, like, there's a new variant. Big effing deal. No one cares. COVID has been over since we got the vaccines. The vaccines, according to the data, are very durable against preventing severe illness and death. However, they're more of a treatment, they're basically a treatment. They're a proactive treatment, because these vaccines aren't vaccines in the traditional sense, right? A vaccine, you take it, you're inoculated against the disease, which means you cannot get it, you cannot spread it, so on and so forth. These vaccines, they basically reduce your symptoms. They don't really provide as much protection. Like, you can still get the disease even if you've been vaccinated. Now, I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but anecdotally, let's just say I know plenty of people who've been vaccinated who have also caught COVID. Like, that's not how vaccines have ever worked my entire life. You know, it's the same thing with natural immunity, which we're not allowed to talk about. But, you know, it still works for chickenpox. If you get chickenpox once, you're never going to get it again. Period. Full stop. But that's enough of that rant. The vaccines essentially still will work with this variant. There's nothing new to be scared of. However, the media and the government have a vested interest in keeping you terrified and scared of this virus. And so what we're seeing is that the governments who want to crack down and just like really tighten their iron fist around their citizens are really, really using this Omicron to just crush any and all opposition to vaccine mandates, lockdown orders, anything. And we know that this is probably not going to be a very severe strain of the virus, because the scientists who discovered it have said it's not very severe. So here's some of the things that some South African scientists have said about the Omicron variant, all right? So we have Mark Mendelsohn, who's the head of infectious diseases at University of Cape Town. He says, anecdotally, we're seeing a lot of reinfections. What we don't know at the moment, because we haven't got the data, is how many of those people are unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. He says, while people are freaking out, the other thing to stress is that if you look across the variants, vaccines have protected against severe disease, hospitalization, and death. And really, looking at the Omicron mutations, though, there are an awful lot of them. There's nothing really to indicate that the ability of vaccines to fight this is going to be affected to a very great extent. He also goes on to say, in truth, it doesn't want to kill you. It wants you to stick around. He then goes on to say, you know, people telling the world not to worry, this is going to be mild, haven't learned enough humility. So he's trying to temper expectations. But really, he's the only one who is really even putting that asterisk on the statement. Looking at things from other scientists, this thing is, they're saying this is very, very, very mild compared to other variants, even if it is more infectious. And as we know historically, viruses tend to get more contagious but less deadly as they go on. We look at the flu that we get every single year, or the wave of the flu that comes through every single year. Like, all of those can be traced back to the flu of 1918, the Spanish flu. So yeah, that was the last big pandemic over 100 years ago. And now, again, the virus is still around, but we don't freak out about it like we used to. A, we've become more immune to it. There are vaccines for it that people are allowed to take by choice, which is the important part. And it's less deadly than it was back in 1918. So that's kind of how viruses tend to go. Richard Friedland, the CEO of Netcare Limited, which operates the largest private healthcare network in South Africa, has said, if in the second and third wave we'd seen these levels of positivity to tests, we would have seen very significant increases in hospital admissions, and we're not seeing that. In our primary care clinics, it's mainly people under 30 years old. He says, actually, I think there's a silver lining here. This may signal the end of COVID-19, with it attenuating itself to such an extent that it's highly contagious, but doesn't cause severe disease. That's what happened with Spanish flu. Again, if this turns into something as mild as a cold, no one should care or at all about how many cases we have. That's why you've seen in the media, they've stopped reporting on, you know, number of deaths and hospitalizations, because those numbers haven't really spiked the way they expected them to. There was some spike with Delta, but they're all complaining about cases. I couldn't care less about cases, right? What if we reported every case of the cold? People would be freaking losing their minds, because there's tons of cases every year. It's incredibly common. It's a common cold, but it doesn't kill anyone. And even if it does, like, I haven't looked up the numbers on a cold, but no one has ever cared about a cold. No one wigs out and says you have to wear a mask if you have a cold. A cold is a cold. I think this is probably what COVID is going to turn into. It's going to turn into another common respiratory disease, just like the flu, just like the cold. And essentially, we've shut down the world for 2 years because of this virus that was released by China or escaped a lab in China. Richard Freeland continues. He says, we're seeing breakthrough infections of people who have been vaccinated, but infections we're seeing are very mild to moderate. So for healthcare workers who had boosters, mostly mild, whole thing has been so poorly communicated and so much panic generated. It's early days, but I'm less panicked. It feels different to me on the ground. Shabir Mahdi, a vaccinologist from the University of Witwatersrand, led trials of both AstraZeneca's and Novavax's shots in South Africa. She says, Omicron seems to be moving at a faster speed than Delta, but at the same time, what seems to be happening is that hospitalization rate is somewhat more muted. Vaccination or past transmission create T-cell immunity. This is natural immunity, which are good at protecting against severe disease and death. The mutations of the virus are very likely to make it more successful against antibody activities, but it seems likely there well may be a preservation of the T-cell immunity. Continuing on, I'm optimistic in this resurgence. While the total number of cases will probably be greater, hospitalizations and deaths will be lower than what we experienced during the course of any of the first three waves. And that is because right now in South Africa, all indications are that 75 to 80% of people were infected with the virus during the course of the first three waves. That is probably going to equip those individuals not to resist infection, but rather prevent progression of infection to severe disease. You hear the same thing from all these different scientists. I could go on and on. The article will be linked in the description. It's from Bloomberg. So you can read all of them if you want. Next, BBC, the head of the South African Medical Association told the BBC that the cases found so far in South Africa were not severe, said investigations into the variant were still at a very early stage. So she said, quote, the patients are mostly complaining about a sore body and tiredness and extreme tiredness, and we see in the younger generation, it's not the older people. We're not talking about patients that might go straight to a hospital and be admitted, Dr. Angelique Coetzee said. So again, maybe it's more contagious, but it's probably just a cold. And again, anyone who's really worried about this has had every opportunity to get vaccinated. That is their choice. At this point, how you deal with the virus is on you. No one should force you to get a vaccine you don't want. No one should force you to get medical treatment you don't want, because the vaccine protects you. So it's just like driving a car. If I decide to wear my seatbelt because it protects me better, I'm not going to force someone else driving next to me to wear their seatbelt, right? Just because someone else isn't wearing their seatbelt doesn't mean that my seatbelt's not going to work. Simple logic. So moving on to Biden's worthless new COVID measures. And again, these are just, they're just trying to make life hard for everybody. They want to continue to force people to mask. They want to continue to try and shove vaccines in people's arms, and just, they want you to bow down and be completely subservient and obedient to the government, because daddy government knows best. And so here's what they are. It's like a 9-point plan from the Biden administration. One, boosters for all adults. I'm pretty sure we've been here. Like, this has already been a thing. You're allowed to get boosted if you want. They've already approved them. That big deal. Nothing's changing there. Two, this one's exceptionally stupid, and it's been stupid since they've been pushing vaccines on kids. It's all about governmental control. So number two, vaccinations to protect our kids and keep our schools open. So if anyone wants to take a guess at how many children, right, under the ages of 14, right, so from like 5 to 14, because that's like ages 5 and up are now eligible for the vaccine. If anyone wants to take a guess of how many people, your children, have died from this disease since the pandemic started in 2 years, unless you've been listening to, you know, more conservative news sources, I doubt you'll have any idea. It's 200. There have been 200 deaths of children between the ages of 5 and 14 since January 1st, 2020. So we're almost 2 years into this pandemic, and there have been 200 deaths. Literally, the flu kills more than that. Kids are not susceptible to this, by and large. The number of deaths of people under 17 years old is only 680 something, 683, I think. If you are a young and healthy human being with no comorbidities, you have nothing to worry about from this virus except maybe losing your taste and smell. It is that clear and that simple. Whatever Dr. Fauci says is bullshit. Completely. So, period. He's been flip-flopping, playing both sides of the aisle since this thing started. He's danced around definitions of gain-of-function research. Do not listen to this absolute hack anymore. Next, Biden wants to expand free at-home testing for Americans. Big deal. For stronger public health protocols for safe international travel. So, again, just trying to make you subservient to the government. If you're going to use federally mandated or federally regulated transportation, you have to follow these absolutely oppressive BS rules. So he's extending the requirement to wear a mask on airplanes, rail travel, and public transportation. And the TSA will extend its implementing orders to maintain these requirements through March 18th. So another 3 months, 4 months. And then here, the fines have been doubled to a minimum fine of $500 for not wearing a dirty piece of cloth over your face. And they can be up to $3,000 for repeat offenders. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. For wearing a dirty, like, they want you to wear a dirty piece of cloth over your face to travel. There's no evidence that freaking little cloth masks covering your face do anything to prevent spread. None. The only masks that have shown any evidence of preventing the spread of disease are properly fitted and worn KN95 masks. I don't see anyone wearing those. It's all the freaking customized little cloth masks that don't do anything. Half the time, people don't wear their masks right anyway. It'll be below their nose, or they just, you know, when they're not wearing them, they just shove them in their pockets. Like, this does nothing but prevent, or not prevent, this does nothing but allow bacteria to continue to replicate and spread. It's that simple. Masking, by and large, has not worked. Next, protections in workplaces. So we're on number 5 now. Protections in workplaces to keep our economy open. So this is Biden, again, trying to push companies to comply with his unconstitutional OSHA mandate just by bullying them. And so he's calling on businesses to move forward with vaccination or testing programs. The president will call on businesses to move forward expeditiously with requiring their workers to get vaccinated or tested weekly. This is immoral. Businesses, yes, while they are private businesses, have the ability to do whatever they want. But when they are being pressured by the federal government, when they're being pressured by local governments to implement a medical mandate, it is not the business's business. They have no business knowing whether I have had a certain medical procedure or not. If I go into an interview with a company, do they need to know whether I've had my tonsils removed or not? No. Do they need to know whether I've had my wisdom teeth taken out? No. Is it relevant to my function performance of the job? No. Then they need to leave that alone. It's none of their business. Absolutely none of their business. And people should not be forced to choose between a vaccination, a unwanted medical treatment, and a paycheck. But Biden's going to continue to push this. He says, or this is in the release, this is especially important given the Omicron variant. No business should shut down this winter because of COVID-19. If you look at the red states where unemployment rates are at record lows almost, businesses aren't shutting down because of COVID-19. They're going about their lives. If people are sick, they stay home. It's not a big deal. The Department of Labor has provided a clear roadmap to help businesses keep workers safe and their doors open. Already 60% of businesses report they are moving forward with implementing a program to ensure their workers are either vaccinated or tested on a weekly basis, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and more than 100 leading public health experts have encouraged businesses to not delay in implementing these protective measures. The president will urge businesses to take steps now to protect workers, customers, and the economy. And this is just him trying to say, ignore the legal challenges to my OSHA rule and do what I say because I say it because I'm Joe Biden and F you. Well, guess what? I got news for you, Joe. F you. You are not a king. You do not get to mandate this stuff to people, no matter how you try and push it down through companies. It's absolute insanity. I'm so over it. Especially with as much corrupt BS as this as the Biden family has been through, and we're going to get into that later. You should have zero respect for this man. First of all, he is a dementia-addled old politician who has been in politics literally since the day he was old enough to get into politics. I don't think he's ever worked in the private sector. He was elected to the Senate at 29 years old through a loophole because he would be 30 by the time he'd be inducted. Sworn in. This man has always wanted to be a politician. He has always wanted to wield power, and he will do whatever it takes for him to wield it and retain it. He will lie, cheat, and steal, and it is well documented throughout his entire career. His nickname used to be Quid Pro Joe, okay? He uses every single thing as a political tool to aid him in his power grab. And you're going to see this documented from the Hunter Biden emails that we go through later in this show. This man should not be president. He should not be in public life. He should not have any respect from a single person in this country. The last four things that the Biden administration are recommending, rapid response teams to help battle rising cases. No one cares about the cases if the hospitalizations stay low. 7, supplying treatment pills to help prevent hospitalizations and death. This is actually a good thing, but you know how much of it is because they're in bed with Big Pharma. Pfizer has a pill that reduces, I think, severe illness and disease like 70 or 80%. So if they have a treatment, why do we need a vaccine? It should be our choice. Again, undercutting their logic for these vaccine mandates. It's not about the vaccine. It's about government control. 8, continued commitment to global vaccination efforts. See, this is where it starts to really get weird. It's like, I don't care about, like, why are we responsible for the rest of the globe's vaccines? First of all, we shouldn't be. Like, how many tax dollars are we sending overseas for vaccines? Like, we shouldn't be doing this. It's dumb. And then 9, steps to ensure we're prepared for all scenarios. Just, you know, typical political broad strokes BS. All of it is meant for government control. And we can actually see this more moving forward in other countries. So Australia, Germany, Latvia, Ireland, all of these countries are pursuing excessive lockdowns, like absolutely excessive lockdowns that I never thought I would see this kind of thing in my entire life. And what you're not seeing is on the mainstream media, on the news, there are protests to these lockdowns going on consistently because everyone knows they're just anti-human. They're not, people should not be treated this way. So here's a story out of Australia. There's a 26-year-old woman. She was taken from her home to a quarantine camp, offered Valium, and then told that the restrictions don't have to make sense. I will link to the video in the description. It's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. She didn't even test positive for COVID. Her friend, who she had been in contact with, did test positive. She tested negative. There were people at her door and took her off to a quarantine camp in Australia. When did this become okay? It wasn't okay in the 1940s or 30s. Like, this is just absolute insanity to me. I've never seen, like, people should not be putting up with this. And honestly, I think as U.S. citizens and the United States, we should begin accepting political refugees from Australia because it is it's an absolute hellhole. So her name was Haley Hodgson. She's 26. She was released from a 14-day detention at the Howard Springs quarantine facility in Australia. Police officers came to her home, took her away. And then inside the facility, she got into an argument with one of the guards And she stepped outside of her tiny room and was told that she couldn't cross over a specific line. Otherwise, she would be fined $5,000. Like, in what universe is a government allowed to take you from your home with no due process, for no reason, put you in a, we'll call it a room, but, you know, cell, facility, whatever, against your will? No crime has taken place. No due process has happened. And keep you there for 14 days and then threaten you with financial ruin if you step over a imaginary line. This is absolute insanity. Everyone needs to wake up and realize this is where governments are trying to go. They are going so crazy about a disease that we have found a vaccine for, found treatments for, but they do not care. It's all about, and you're going to get tired of hearing me say this, but it's all about government control. It's about the authoritarians keeping their power, keeping people in check, and they're going to use COVID to do it, because it's always for your safety, for your health. Well, guess what? Freedom comes with risk. You cannot be free unless you're willing to accept some amount of risk. So this whole argument, it's for your safety, it's whatever. I think I should get to choose how I live my life. And I'm not putting other people in danger, because they also have the freedom to choose how to live their life. And if they want to get treated for COVID and get a vaccine or take a treatment, or if they want to take the risk. It's not. Everyone thinks this disease is way deadlier than it actually is. And now that we have treatments for it, it's even less deadly. So I am in shock at Australia. And so this girl, Haley, she's in an argument with one of the guards, and literally just basic logic seems to confound this guard. And he responds with, "It doesn't have to make sense. There has to be lines everywhere drawn." Yeah, and one of the lines is, "You cannot leave your balcony and you cannot go to someone else's. Whether it makes no sense or doesn't seem right to you, that is the line, and that's what the law is, and that's how it goes." Except it's not an actual law. It's an order by the chief health officers. It's just insane. And, you know, at one point, like, I was thinking, oh, hey, you know, Australia might be a really fun place to visit, or maybe a good place to live one day. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm going to urge everyone to stay far, far away from Australia until they get their heads out of their ass, because this is ridiculous. Germany also doing the same thing, because the last time Germany went ahead and did lockdowns, that turned out so well. So well. So on Thursday, Germany announced a plan for a lockdown for unvaccinated people in the country, and some officials are pushing the idea of forced vaccination. So this is reported by CNN. Unvaccinated people will be banned from accessing all but the most essential businesses, such as supermarkets and pharmacies, to curb the spread of coronavirus. Outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel and her successor Olaf Scholz announced Thursday, following crisis talks with regional leaders, those who have recently recovered from COVID-19 are not covered by the ban. The pair also backed proposals for mandatory vaccinations, which, if voted through the parliament, could take effect from February at the earliest. That's in, like, this is insane. Governments are dividing people into two different groups of people based on whether you wanted to have a medical procedure done, and then you are being treated separately. Like, I just can't even fathom that this is, it's 2021. We've all had history, and we're watching it repeat itself again. This is unbelievable. Germany's health minister issued a warning to German citizens, and this is chilling actually, issued a warning to German citizens saying they'll either be vaccinated, recovered, or dead by the conclusion of the oncoming winter. I'm sorry, what? That sounds like a threat. That does not sound like a government who wants the best for its people. Like, this sounds like a government who wants to rule its people. It's just terrifying. I can't imagine that anyone in the U.S. wants to go to any of these places right now. It's crazy. And then really the most insane thing is Latvia. So in Latvia, their parliament bans unvaccinated lawmakers from voting on laws and getting paid. So essentially, if you don't get a vaccine or a medical procedure that the majority, right, want you to have, you will no longer have a voice or representation in the government. How ridiculous is that? I mean, in the U.S., we fought the Revolutionary War over taxes on some tea because of no representation, right? No taxation without representation. That was the Revolutionary War. And Latvia now is essentially doing the same thing, but they are removing representation based on whether you get a shot. Like, that's just absolutely insane to me. I don't know what we do to fight back and push back against this, but share these stories out with as many people as you can. We have to support each other, at least from a freedom standpoint. I don't care whether you're left, right, center, what. I wholeheartedly believe everyone should have free choice in their medical decisions. They shouldn't be forced to choose between a medical procedure and a paycheck. This cannot be allowed to happen here, and I am shocked and appalled that it's happening in other countries at this rate. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the number of protests triple, quadruple, I mean, just exponentially increase, because this is insane. It's absolutely insane. Max Blumenthal had a tweet. He goes, Latvia, another NATO vassal state, decided yesterday to ban the unvaccinated from voting in parliament. Might be only a matter of time before ordinary citizens also begin to lose their right to vote for not taking a state-mandated medical intervention. And that's where every government is going. And if you look, it's like the U.S., yeah, we're trailing behind, but that's only because of the system of government we have in place. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, like, we could be right here as well. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. So I'm done. I'm sick of talking about COVID. In my eyes and most people's eyes, the pandemic is over. Go about your life. You know, it's not going to affect you. You've had the opportunity to get vaccinated. You've had the opportunity to not get vaccinated. You've probably had the disease at some point, whether you knew it or not. Like, it's a common cold, essentially, at this point. Maybe a little more severe. Let's call it a flu. It's the flu. If you get COVID, you got the flu. Big deal, right? And if you're healthy without any comorbidities, you're going to be fine. Live life like you always have. If you're sick, stay home. I mean, I don't know why that was ever a thing. It's like, that's pretty standard. Wow, that was a lot. But moving on, due to just more incompetence, before we move into Biden's ineffectiveness and the corruption that he's been engaged in his entire career, yet again, we have jobs numbers that missed severely. We had 200,000 jobs created out of a projected 500. So another 300,000 job miss for the Biden White House. I think they've hit projections once the entire year. Not exactly a stunning report card. So the next, this is even funnier, however, the DCCC, it's like the Democratic, some sort of Democratic campaign, something. they put out a graph and they kind of like distorted it. They stretched it to show a drop in gas prices over the last 2 weeks on average. Gas prices went down on average over the last 2 weeks by 2 pennies, 2 cents. So it went from like 345 to 343. 2 pennies is all gas prices went down. And they think this is a win. But when you're this bad at your job, I guess you got to take whatever you can. We saved 16 cents on our July 4th festivities, and we're saving two pennies on gas now, even though prices are up like 50%. So just keep that in mind. Also, I think, what was it, 20% increase in Thanksgiving prices. So, you know, but hey, we're saving 2 pennies on gas. But here's the real bombshell that has come out recently. As we all know, or at least should know by now, Hunter Biden has lost, I think, 4 laptops, if I'm not mistaken. There is a new book out based on this laptop, and it goes through all of the influence peddling from the Biden family. It's a book by Miranda Devine, and she's a New York Post columnist. As we know, the New York Post, when they broke the story, was heavily throttled on Twitter and Facebook because this was heavily damning information that would have definitely cost, in my opinion, definitely cost Biden the election, assuming that, you know, the election was fair. So, this is coming from the Daily Wire. Exclusive, Joe Biden participated in Hunter's foreign business deals, blockbuster new book reveals. So this is a few excerpts from the book Laptop from Hell, and then I went through the first couple chapters, and I'll pull from some excerpts there just to show you how deep the corruption goes in our government. It is it's everywhere. I mean, I'm sure John Kerry's involved in it. Like, you look at everyone in the Biden administration, and I guarantee you they're all connected into this web of corruption somehow. So Biden, who during the election said he had never spoken to his son about his overseas business dealings, we know in fact that this is a lie. Cafe Milano, it's a Georgetown institution renowned less for its grilled calamari and velvety burrata than for its discretion. The restaurant's catchphrase is, "Where the world's most powerful people go." And that was the case one balmy evening in April 2015, when Hunter organized for his father to meet a group of his foreign business associates for dinner in a private room. This is coming from the Daily Wire. Excerpt from the book. It says, Hunter was busy in spring of 2015. He and Kathleen had started marriage counseling. He had been traveling the world on behalf of Chinese energy company CEFC, the capitalist arm of President Xi Jinping's Belt and Road Initiative. So, again, we have Hunter engaged in some business dealings with the Chinese Communist Party. Couldn't be any corruption, right? So, the Biden family was enjoying the perks of Joe's office now in his second term as vice president. Money was starting to roll in. Now, this is a problem. Why are public officials getting rich while they are serving the country as public officials? Like, that to me is a problem. When you get in office and then you make money, when, like, it's not meant to be a money-making endeavor. You know, going into politics in the U.S. was never meant to be a career, right? It was meant to serve your community. But it has since been distorted and corrupted into a career that you can make that will, you can come in to politics, average Joe, and leave a millionaire. Look at Bernie Sanders, who has never freaking held private office or a private job in his entire life. And now he's got 3 houses and he's worth millions. This is the corruption and influence peddling. So, continuing on, Hunter's foreign clients were pressuring him to meet Joe, and it was increasingly difficult to organize visits to the West Wing. President Obama's office was watching, and the White House counsel had started to put up roadblocks. So Obama even knew about this, right? This, everyone has known about how corrupt the Bidens are, and they have turned a blind eye. So Hunter decided to organize a dinner offsite and kill three birds with one stone. His father could meet his benefactors from Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Russia at the same time in the same place. The dinner was held on April 16, 2015, in Cafe Milano's private garden room. The next day, Hunter received an email from Vadim Pazarsky, a senior executive of the corrupt Ukrainian energy company Burisma, to thank him for introducing him to his father. "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together," Pazarsky wrote on April 17th. "It's really an honor and pleasure." At this time, Burisma was paying Hunter $833,333 a month to sit on its board. So they were paying him like $1 million a year to sit on a board doing foreign energy, something Hunter has no experience doing. So Hunter told guests before the dinner that his father would be there. In one email, he appears to use his role on the board of the World Food Program USA as a cover story for the evening's true purpose of introducing his father to his business associates. He says in an email, "Okay, the reason for the dinner is ostensibly to discuss food security," writes Hunter on March 26, to Michael Karloutsos, with whom he had been discussing a business deal in Greece involving eco-friendly trains from China. "Dad will be there, but keep that between us for now. Thanks." Karloutsos replies, "Everything is good, is between us. All good. I know you mentioned your dad would probably join the dinner as well." The guest list prepared by Hunter 3 weeks before the dinner included Russian billionaire Yelena Batyrina and her husband, a corrupt former Moscow mayor, Yuri Luzhkov, who has since died. Now, isn't this funny? Everyone in the media, everyone on the left, they consistently accuse Donald Trump of, you know, Russian collusion and being a pawn for Putin. And really, we actually get a peek behind the curtain because Hunter Biden's an idiot who left his laptop in four separate spots because he can't keep a laptop in his possession. And it looks like Joe Biden is the one who is a puppet by both the Chinese and the Russians. Just like anything the left accuses the right of doing, the left is doing. That's basically what it is. That's basically what it comes down to. So, Batyrina had wired $3.5 million on February 14th to Rosemont Seneca Thornton LLC, which is a consortium formed between Rosemont Seneca, the firm co-founded by Hunter, Hunter's Yale friend Devon Archer, and John Kerry's stepson Chris Hines. So, yeah, that's not suspicious at all. And the Boston-based Thornton Group to pursue a Chinese joint venture. Batyrina's wires were flagged in suspicious activity reports provided by the Treasury Department to a Senate Republican inquiry by the Finance and Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committees, chaired by Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson. Three officials from Kazakhstan were also invited to the Cafe Milano dinner, including Mark Holtzman, chairman of the former Soviet Republic's largest bank, Kazkommertsbank. So then it goes through, you know, has the, you know, number of seats for the guest list. Laptop doesn't record if everyone on the list attended. And then we have, Kazakhstan banker Holtzman. He responded to Hunter after the dinner. "Dear Hunter, thank you for an amazing evening, wonderful company, and great conversation. I look forward to seeing you soon and to many opportunities to work closely together." Then we can see there's a picture. A smiling Joe Biden and Hunter are seen alongside Kazakhstan's then Prime Minister Karim Masimov and junior oligarch Kinz Rekishev. He was 34 in the photograph, which appears to have been taken that night at the Cafe Milano. So these are all being corroborated by different sources. Like there's pictures that prove this dinner happened. Joe Biden was there, clearly, like, on purpose. He didn't just drop through. So then, let's see here. Let's scroll down, skip a little bit here. Since the New York Post first reported in October 2020 on the Pazarsky email from Hunter's abandoned laptop thanking Hunter for the meeting with his father, White House has not responded to the paper's inquiries. It has not disputed the accuracy of the paper's stories either, nor requested a retraction or correction. The Biden campaign told USA Today in December 2020 that it categorically denied a meeting ever happened, which we know now is a complete lie, corroborated by both the laptop and pictures. And then in June 2021, after the New York Post published further details of the meeting, including it was a dinner where Joe met multiple business associates of Hunter's, the White House came clean. After 8 months of denials and stonewalling, an unnamed White House individual with knowledge of Joe Biden's schedules told Kessler that the VP did go to Cafe Milano that night, but quote-unquote, only dropped by briefly to meet with one of the guests, and there was no discussion of politics or business. We know that's not how it works. And so it says, but of course, that's not how it works. Joe just has to show up and shake hands. All that matters is that Hunter demonstrates his pulling power. The White House claimed that Joe's attendance was not listed on his official schedule because he only decided to drop by at the last minute after the schedule was completed. However, Hunter had been telling his guests for 3 weeks his father would be there. So this is like just complete, absolute, crystal clear evidence of not only lying to the media and the American people, but very likely corruption. And you'll see a lot more when we get through to some more of the quotes from the book. So this book, which is called Laptop from Hell, I would highly recommend going to Amazon, buying it. You can get it on Kindle immediately, or if you can find it in a local bookstore, go pick it up, because Amazon is severely backordered on it. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I looked at the book on, the Friday the 4th, and Amazon was saying it would deliver the book by January 11th. Now it's saying it doesn't know when it'll be back in stock. So we will see how long Amazon carries this book. But let's get into a few more excerpts. So this book, it talks about Hunter's encounters with cutthroat oligarchs in Monte Carlo, Lake Como, Hong Kong, and Shanghai are documented in rich detail on his laptop. It takes us from a billionaire's beach villa in Acapulco to the desolate oil fields of Kazakhstan, from a judo competition in Budapest with Vladimir Putin to dinner in Beijing with Xi Jinping. So, like we've said, Joe Biden is completely sold out to the Russians and the Chinese. Guaranteed. A Chinese tycoon cooks Hunter dinner in his new $50 million Manhattan penthouse. A Ukrainian oligarch takes him to his fishing shack in Norway. Beautiful Russian escorts and thieving drug dealers float through his self-imposed exile on Sunset Boulevard amid slapstick scenes as crackhead Hunter comes unstuck and his hapless uncle Jim Biden rides into the rescue. Text messages chronicling the disintegration of Hunter's love affair with his brother's widow are laced with flashbacks to the pain of a troubled childhood. Eye-popping financial windfalls are shaded by the grim fate of business partners who wind up floating in the Yangtze. It's a life of greed and luxury in a shadowy world of kleptocrat oligarchs that law enforcement can't touch. It further goes on to say, this laptop also puts the lie to President Biden's repeated claims that he knew nothing about his son's shady business ventures in China, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Russia, and beyond. Another excerpt says the story headlined Biden's secret emails revealed a bombshell. This is from a Washington Post article. Revealed a bombshell 2015 email indicating that Joe, as vice president, had met in Washington with a high-ranking representative of the corrupt Ukrainian energy company that was paying his junkie son $1 million a year to sit on its board. And then here's the real crux of the matter, right? 8 months after the meeting, Joe flew to Kiev and threatened to withhold $1 billion in U.S. aid unless the Ukrainian government fired its top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, who was pursuing Burisma for corruption at the time. And here's the thing. Joe Biden brags about this. He absolutely brags about bribing a government to fire a prosecutor that is targeting his son's firm. So he's bribing another government with U.S. taxpayer dollars to protect his income stream because Hunter was essentially a front for Joe Biden's shady business deals. The book goes on. The email was news in anyone's language, but soon after the Post story broke online, social media censored it. Facebook announced it had throttled the story's reach. Twitter locked the post's account for 2 weeks, then admitted after the election that it had made a mistake. Well, of course they made a mistake. But you can't get that back, can you? See, this is the thing. These big tech companies are unaccountable to anyone. How do we rectify this? There has to be a way. And I think it starts with redoing Section 230 or removing the platform's protections from 230. The book continues, it was a chilling exercise of raw political power by an unaccountable big tech, the term given to the oligopoly of global corporations that dominate the information technology industry. The coordinated censorship of America's oldest newspaper with the fourth largest circulation in the nation amounted to election interference, and that's 100% correct. That is 100% correct. The election was actually, if not illegally, rigged by, you know, ballot stuffing and fake counts and things of that nature. If that didn't happen, the election was absolutely rigged by the media and by big tech. 100%. They throttled news stories that were relevant because it hurt their guy. So, the book continues, it was a historic moment that rang alarm bells around the world and would harden resolve on Capitol Hill to rein in the power of social media giants. However, nothing happened. No one has done anything yet. Hopefully, we will, but we have to be careful because everyone's calling for reforming big tech. However, whereas the Republicans just want to remove government protections, the left want to increase government oversight, essentially making these companies a third or fourth arm of the government. So, polls suggest that had the story not been throttled, it could have changed votes and potentially flipped the election. The conclusion is inescapable. The president cannot extricate his family's money-making schemes from America's foreign policy imperatives. And that is 100% true as well. This administration, this family, is as corrupt as the day is long, and it is plainly obvious for anyone to see. The information in these emails, the information in this book, should absolutely 100% be used as evidence to impeach this tyrannical, dementia-addled, illegitimate president. He should not hold office. He should be in jail. He should absolutely be in jail. He's sold out the country. He's sold out every single one of us as Americans to the Chinese and the Russians. And it's all documented and detailed in Hunter's emails. So let's hope, let's really hope that when we get some, maybe some conservatives with some, with a backbone in Congress in 2022, that they will take this evidence and absolutely clean house with it. Because these people do not care about the country. They do not care about your freedoms. They do not care about you. All they want is their political power. They want to exercise it as aggressively as possible, and they want you to know that they are the government and they control you. And that is not the promise that was made when the founders started this country. That is not the bargain that was struck, and that is not how our country works. The government works for the people. And we have got to get these authoritarians out. That's all I've got for you today, guys. Have a good one. Thanks for listening to Unpopular Opinions with Nick. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening to your podcast. You can also interact with us on Facebook and Instagram at unpopularopinions.tm. Have a good one.